This is a new day to try to get right. This is a new day to get on track. Yeah, that's life in football. This is a new day to live your life. This is a new day to try to get right. This is a new day to get on track. Yeah, that's life in football. It's life in football. We are life in football.
You are now listening to the Life in Football podcast. Check out the new website, lifeinfootball.com.
Welcome to the Life in Football podcast, baby. I'm your host, Mike Fee.
And this is your co-host, Colin Moore. You know we loving life and enjoying football.
Top-notch bowlers all around the world. Top-notch bowlers all around the world. Today, we got a very special guest on by the name of Ron Vickers. He was a wide receiver at FAMU. He was a legend over there. And now he got a son out here balling at Robert F. Monroe, getting ready to go to Oklahoma. That's why he got his gear on. Now, let me tell y'all something. I saw Mr. Vickers a long time ago. I don't even know how I knew he played football, but in the city of Quincy, in the community, you find these things out about the baller. He used to have dreads back then, him and his wife. I saw them, they came in the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. I saw him and his wife in there, and they had the kids. Their kids were real young back then. And he was up, and I don't know what for some reason, he was talking in the church. I can't remember why. And the more and more I would see them, and I was somewhere one day, and he said, oh, that's Michael Fields. So that let me know, okay, he knew I played ball. Some kind of way I find out he played football. And they were like, yeah, man, he used to tell out there, Shane, this and this and that. So, just to let y'all know, this ain't just no regular, you know, byway type person. He played up under Ken Riley, and back in the day, FAMU, how it be packed now, it was super packed then. Same stadium, packed. And they just let y'all know, for all the newcomers to the HBCU football world, this thing been going down. And he gonna let y'all know a little bit more about that. But without further ado, I'm gonna go ahead and let C-Mo bring him on.
How you doing, Mr. Vickers?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks.
Good. Hey, it's a blessing to have you on.
Man, it's a blessing to be here. Thank God for it.
So you know I'm gonna jump right out on you.
Okay, go ahead.
My family member was your coach, Ken Riley.
Yes, sir.
I didn't get to grow up on him like that because by the time he came back, he started teaching in the school system down there in Polk County. So that's all I really got to hear about him. Then by like, yeah, he went to the NFL. But how was it for you? Did he recruit you there or somebody else did and he took over the job from that point?
Well, actually what happened, I was actually being recruited by quite a few other schools. Mm-hmm. And in my senior year, there's some things that took place. I don't want to kind of put the guy down. But my quarterback, there's some things happened with our quarterback, and my numbers kind of fell off my senior year. And so into my senior year. And so as signing day came and leading up to it, it's, recruiting was totally different back then. You know, you have all this stuff, but a lot of times it was word of mouth. They had to come to your house, those types of things. And so it was National Signing Day. And Coach Riley, at the time, it was 86. It was his first year, and I graduated 87. So going into my senior year, National Signing Day, all the other schools didn't come. And so Coach Riley and a few of the other coaches, Coach Jones, they came to my house probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock that night, National Signing Day. They had just left a classmate of mine's home, Eddie Battle. And he played defensive back over there with me. And I guess they asked him, had I signed with anybody? He told me no, so this knock comes on my door. I wasn't even expecting them to be there, man. Right. That's what's crazy. And they showed up and said they wanted to offer me. They think I could play, and I didn't have any more suitors at the time, so I just went on and signed with Florida A&M, man. And I think it's one of the best decisions I've made. I met my wife there, you know, and so it was a wonderful decision for me. I don't regret anything that took place.
Now, when they knocked at your house that late at night, what you was thinking?
I was so blown away because, like I said, I was expecting other schools to be there or to get other offers, you know. And so when they showed up, I always grew up a FAMU fan. Don't get me wrong. Now, I always felt like, you know, FAMU was on the rise. He had come in, Coach Riley had come in like in 86, and they had this theme, Air Riley, you know. So I did start some thinking about, okay, I can be a part of that air raid, you know. And I think his first year didn't go as well for him as Air Riley. And so I went in as a freshman, man, not really expecting to start, but expecting to start. You know what I'm saying? You kind of know who you are sometimes. And you kind of know, you know, your athleticism and what you can bring to the table. But I just kind of wanted to take it slow, really. But when I got there, man, I probably was, they had like 2 5th-year seniors. So I probably was like the 4th X receiver. And so by the time the end of two-a-days, we had two-a-days back then, where you practice in the morning and then in the afternoon. So by the time two-a-days were getting like midstream, I started moving up the depth charts, right? My first game, my freshman year, we played Tuskegee. They beat the brakes off of us. I couldn't believe it. And then I didn't get in the game. I dressed. It was a home game. They beat us at home. And then we went to Jacksonville to the Bowl City Classic that second game my freshman year. And I got in, man, and scored a touchdown. And they were about to give us a goose egg. So
yeah.
I scored a touchdown probably like on a quick slant or something like that, probably about 30, 40 yards out. And came back home that third game and still wasn't starting. So I'm like getting frustrated with myself and, you know, just talking to myself. Coach Jones was like, hey, but you're going to, you know, because back then they didn't like starting freshmen, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to make freshman mistakes and those types of things. But in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if I'm a freshman and I'm doing as well as the 5th-year seniors, then that dog kind of come out and, you know what I'm saying, I need to be on the field. Mm-hmm. So that third game, man, had a pretty good game. I think I had like 3 or 4 catches. I can't quite remember. And then after that game, it was the 4th game, I remember Coach Riley. I got all that to get here. Coach Riley stood up after the game and in the locker room. He said, we always make fun of Coach Riley, how he talk. He's like, Mister, it's your position to lose now. Y'all give it up. They called me Tanny back then. Sweet Tanny back then. Y'all give it up for Sweet Tanny because of the way I ran my routes and stuff like that. So Coach Jones gave me that. Mm-hmm. Coach Melvin Jones, rest in peace. He gave me that name, man. And so from there, man, it just took off. It just took off. And so just so excited that they gave me the opportunity to do what I loved doing at the time, you know.
Well, that's well deserved. I got to speak on it, man, because ever since I know Mr. Vick, I really don't know him like that. I just know him from passing. Mm-hmm. Like I told y'all, I first saw him and his wife with the kids at any of y'all missionary battle church in Quincy. I was in high school myself, probably middle school.
Uh-huh.
And I remember seeing them stand up, and they were, I don't know why he was talking for something. You a preacher or something?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. And now, move forward to the future, I see him and his family again. Mm-hmm. They got pictures with Coach Saban at Alabama. I know he got Oklahoma stuff on. I'm just telling y'all.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
That's what it's on going.
It's a part of the recruiting process. That's
right, right. don't nobody go back and be putting nothing out. Somebody, he said this on the podcast. No, leave that alone.
Yeah.
And just to see the dynamics of him and his family, it speak a lot to you when you see a man consistently with his family. And I was a young man, real young. I'm still young, but at that time, and I'm still seeing the dynamic, him and his wife and his kids. And that speaks a lot. That's real special. And so I want you to talk about, first, before I get into you and your family, how it was for you growing up and who helped you to become the person you are today.
Wow. I can't really pinpoint one person, you know what I'm saying? Of course, my mom was, you know, exponential in my life. Grew up without a dad. And if I can share an experience, I remember my freshman year, I grew up without my dad. went through high school, all of those things, getting all of these accolades. And I can remember, you know, some of the other guys would have their dads there. And I would look and be looking for my dad. My mom worked. She had to take care of her kids. So she worked. She couldn't be to a lot of the things that I had done. And so I just wanted to make sure as I got older that I make sure my kids know that I was going to be there for them, you know. So I try to make all – I even took a job. The career that I'm in, I even took a job that to make sure that my kids see me in the stands, because I know how that little boy, when I was a little boy, felt doing things, scoring touchdowns, state championships in track and field, traveling all over the country, getting ready to go outside of the country with track and field. Just not being able to share that with a dad, you know. But there were people that God placed in my life, men that God placed in my life, like my granddad. We stayed with my granddad. We moved up from Fort Lauderdale because in the 70s and early 80s, man, it was rough. It was rough. You know, we were fighting every day. And here I am in elementary school, and I'm fighting high school guys because they want to take your shoes. They want to take your belt. We lived in the hood. And one day my sister found a hypodermic needle when we lived in Fort Lauderdale. It was on our porch. And she showed it to my mom and asked my mom, "What is this?" And I guess it broke my mom. And so she was like, "I got to get my children out of this situation." So that's how we got up here to Quincy. And so there were people, man, that God placed in my life. My granddad was one. There was my receivers coach, Coach Hayes, God rest his soul. Coach James Pelham, the track coach, God rest his soul. Coach Pelham actually was the main one that was so instrumental in the path that I was able to take. He believed in me. Man, that man did some things for me. And I didn't know at the time. While he was doing those things, I didn't know. I didn't know he was paying for certain things. I didn't know I might get in trouble. Can't do anything with me right now. I didn't know he was getting sponsors to get me, you know, like I would go to the Florida State football camps, track camps, you know, all of those types of things. Although I grew up a Miami fan. Grew up a Miami fan. My wife has her master's from Miami. So, you know, Miami is still there in our heart. But just got off a little bit. And then got over there with Coach Riley and over at Florida A&M and got over there with Coach Riley and Coach Jones, man, and those guys just fed into us. Coach Tyrone McGriff, God rest his soul, he was over there at the time. And so, man, to be a part of a program, knowing that there were guys that played at the same school that you're now at, they played in the NFL as well. So it gives you this, okay, if they made it, I can make it. And so, you know, but God had other plans concerning that, and I'm glad because that I didn't make it. You know, a lot of people want to make it to the NFL, but I'll be honest with you, I'm glad. Looking back over my life now, I'm glad I did not make the NFL because I probably would be a totally different person.
All right. But, you know, you've been blessed, man. And like I was saying, I want to speak with you about your family as well. Mm-hmm. Like, give us the dynamics on, like, how it is, you know, being dedicated to your family, and now you got your son out here, and he balling. Matter of fact, they going deep in the state of Florida playoffs, and he's now getting ready to go to Oklahoma. Big time athlete coming out of Robert F. Monroe High School in Quincy. Talk. Give us a little bit about being a father, and you know, for the dynamics with you and your family.
Well, if I may, I met my wife over at FAMU, and this may sound weird, but the very first time I saw her, I just knew she was going to be my wife. I don't know how I knew at the time. I just knew it. When I saw her, it's like, and I told one of my friends that I played ball with over there, James Collins, he played offensive line. I said, "That's going to be my wife." And so when I got saved at a very young age, 24, and that's what changed the true trajectory of my life, getting saved, coming into the knowledge of who Jesus is. I went to church, you know, but when I got the fam, church was last on my list, you know. as you know, we get out of mama's house, 17, 18 years old.
Right, right.
And so credit goes to I just have to do this. Credit goes to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man, because I did not have a husband figure to watch in my home. I did not have a father figure to watch and how this thing is supposed to work. So when I got saved, man, I had to dive into that Bible and really see, because there were things that I knew took place in my life that I just did not want to happen in my children's life. And before I got married, I had two kids. And so now seeing Jesus said, look, we're not going to allow your sons to grow up without knowing who you are. So I thank God, I got five boys, man, and I thank God that all of my boys, they know who I am. You know, the very first time I heard my dad's voice, and I was gonna tell this earlier, the very first time I heard my dad's voice, I was at Florida A&M University. I was living in Sampson Hall. We had phones on the wall down the hall. We didn't have cell phones and stuff like that. Yeah. And our RA would answer the phone and tell us when we had phone calls, right? And so, I got this phone call. The RA called me down. Vickers, you got a phone call. So I go down to the phone. And when I answer the phone, man, here I am now, 18 years old, just turned 18 years old. And on the other line was my dad. And the first thing he asked me was, could he get some tickets? Oh, we were getting ready to go down to the Orange Blossom Classic. We were getting, I forget who we were playing. It was either like Delaware State or Central State or somebody like that. I forget who it was, but it's my freshman year. And the first thing that I recognized my dad's voice saying was he was asking for tickets. And I said some choice things back then, you know, to him. But
that, did you give him the tickets?
No. I did it. Our relationship was strained. I didn't know this. Yeah. I didn't know him, man, you know.
Yeah.
But I thank God that before he got out of here, I got to know who my dad was and realized that
he was doing the best he could.
You know, I don't blame my dad for anything, because, you know, sometimes God, well, most of the time, God used bad situations for your good. And so it was for my good. It helped me now. Knowing that helped me be who I am with my wife, who I am with my children. You know, we a close-knit group. I'm ready for Makari to go. That's his name, Makari Vickers. I'm ready for him to go, but I'm going to miss him, you know, because you want to see them go over into that manhood.
Right, right.
So that's why I'm ready for him to go. I believe we trained him in the way that he should go, that it does not depart, like the Bible says. So yeah. He's good. I loved all of the programs. I think all of the programs that recruited my son. But I believe that this OU is the fit because of all of the other things that they're bringing to the table. That's going to help him mature even more spiritually as a man. Because football, all of us, one day football going to be over for all of them. Yeah. And so I need him to be able to stand as a man. And I believe they will continue to do and pour on top of the foundation that my wife and I have laid for them. And so I've always just wanted to be there for them, always wanted to be there for them. And so that's what drives us. And you know, he's in Oklahoma, he's going to be in Oklahoma, and we feel good about that. But we're going to try to make as many games as we can make. We're going to, you know, people's like, it's a long ways from home. But sometimes, man, you got to get them out of the nest, bro.
Yeah.
They got to get out of the nest. And so thanking God for him. Proud of that dude, man. He's worked hard. He deserves it. You know, a lot of people don't see the work you do behind the scenes. You know, a lot of people. I knew from him being a young fella, man, that this was going to take place. And there was a young lady in our lives, a minister. She before he was even born, man, people won't believe this, before he was even born, she spoke this over our lives concerning him.
Come on.
Yeah, her name is Minister Stephanie Mitchell. I just want to give her a shout out because God used her instrumentally, man. We had one son. My wife and I had a son at the time, and I thought she was talking about him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then when this started happening with him, scholarships, and that's what she was saying, proclaimed over life, I see you have a son, and he's going to have scholarships. It's coming from everywhere. And, man, when he got into his 10th grade year, that's when it started happening. And so I was like, and then it's like the Lord brought it back to my attention. Like, remember we spoke this. Remember I spoke this over his life. And right. That's why sometimes in on Twitter or something, you might see where I might put the promise over his name.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly why. That's exactly why. And so God has held true to what he said. And so I try to make sure he remembers that God is holding true to what he said. Now you need to hold true to, you know.
Right.
And so we're excited about that, man. I got another son that's my youngest boy. He's coming up, and he's going to be special as well. Isaiah Vickers. He's in the seventh grade, and he's going to be special as well, man. He was born under some special circumstances. We can get into that some other time, and God blessed him and say to him, man, the things that he's gone through, you'll never know he has gone through those things just looking at him. And so, man, I have to give credit to Jesus. Y'all forgive me. I ain't trying to sound preachy.
We all know.
But I have to give credit to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, man. I do. You know, he has been, you know, I get teared up when I think about it. He has been so good to me.
Right.
You know, everything has not been always good, but he's been good to me. And so I want to make sure I tell as many people as I can when I get the opportunity, right? And so I played at FAMU, and just to give another shout out to my Lord and Savior, and now I'm the chaplain for the team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, never in my wildest dreams, man, that I would have thought that I would be that guy that's now back in the locker room with those guys, back on the field with those guys, teaching them and giving them Bible studies and encouraging them, man. God, man, I'm telling you, Jesus is just, he is just so awesome.
Right.
It's so awesome. I think about it, it's like, look, I once played here, and now it's full circle that he has brought me back into that locker room. And I'm just grateful, man, and thank God for it. And we will continue to do and strive to be not perfect, but we're going to continue to do and strive to be an example for these young men. I got my wife. She's here today. I want people to see that marriages can work. We've been married 28 years, man. And so I want them to see that. I want our young men to see, hey, look, that's not a ball and chain, man.
Yeah.
The Bible says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor.
Uh-huh.
So that's my favor sitting over there. You know what I'm saying? That's just not a wife. That's just not a ball and chain. That's my favor. God favors me through her.
Right.
You know, and so when I begin to learn these lessons and learn how to be a dad, still learning how to be a dad, man, through the word of God, man, and it's just been helping me to be who God wants me to be and who God wants all of us to be. You know, God does not desire bad things for us.
Right.
Bad things happen. Right. But the wonderful thing about him is even through the bad things, he can make those things good, right?
Yeah,
he can make those things good.
So my last thing before I go, before we get on, real quick, if you can talk a little bit about Coach Ken Riley and how he was as a coach and kind of just speak on him needing to be in the NFL Hall of Fame, because it's something that's big and it's almost, he get bypassed every year. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, true story, man, kind of funny. To be honest with you, man, it used to be a running joke, you know, because we're 17, 18 years old. And so, you know, back then, practice, I'm not saying they're not hard now, but back then, man, practice was, they were rigorous.
Yeah.
And so we're going through and they grinding us down, man. And so some people like, when Hall of Fame time would come up, like, it's like, well, don't be taking it out on us because you're not in the Hall of Fame. You know, we would say stuff like that. I never said it, but we would say stuff like that to him, man. And he just persevered through it. And as I moved on, and as we went on through practices and games and seasons, man, you begin to realize, hey, this dude's special.
Yeah.
You know, he was always a man of integrity. He was a humble man. He didn't like drawing attention to himself, and he didn't want you drawing attention to yourself. You know, so if you score a touchdown, hand the ball to the referee, and get off the field, well, we were in the 80s, mid to late 80s, man. We not doing that. You know what I'm saying? We dancing. We doing the creep dog. We doing the prep. We doing all kinds of things after we score touchdowns, right? And he just look at us and shake his head. You know, it's like, Vickers has some class. You know, he say stuff like that. And so I really began to admire him and appreciate him for who he was, man, and who he is. And then when I really began to look into his story, because I knew when he played for Cincinnati, they called him the Rattler. Because he was a quarterback at FAMU,
right.
And they switched him over to cornerback. And man, for a man to have played as many years, I think like 13 years in the NFL, right, in an era where they were not passing the ball like they pass the ball now, and this man is tied for fifth for interceptions. 65 interceptions. He hasn't played since 80. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played since 83, and he's still fifth. Tied for fifth in the whole National Football League with all of these passing teams, with this spread option in the West Coast and all of these things. And this man is fifth, and he's not in the NFL Hall of Fame? Come on, man. That's a travesty.
Yeah.
Von Wilson, he punted. He was a punter on our team back then. He has been instrumental in trying. Every year he had been trying to get this man into the Hall of Fame. You know, and the thing about that, Coach Riley would be, don't worry about it.
Yep.
We would be more upset about it than he would be, man. And then his passing, it's kind of sad that he didn't
get to see it.
I think he will be, but it's sad that he did not get to see that. For me, as his former player, it's really sad that he will not get to see it. I thank God that Ken Jr. should get to see it.
And his daughters and
his grandchildren will get to see that he's getting in there, man. But it's NFL Hall of Fame is long overdue, baby.
I hope they give it to him this round.
Yeah, he's up now for the senior.
Top three.
Yeah. So it's sad. So let's go ahead and do what we're supposed to do, man. How is that?
Right.
He's fifth, bro. Tied for fifth.
And that don't mean
and no everybody sense. Else
in that top 10.
In that top already in there.
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
Man, let me tell y'all something, man. This was a special interview. And this goes to show you, you never know who's watching. Like I told y'all, I was paying attention to this man, his wife, his family at a young age. I'm telling y'all, I saw him walk in the church with the dreads, him and his wife. I seen him with their kids. And it's crazy because it's still going. I remember when the first time I seen him on Twitter, I was like, oh, that's Mr. Vick, that's the guy. He played football. And I remember that. So this, for all the younger kids, you know, and I ended up going to Alabama State, played football, but this goes to show you, be mindful of what you out here doing, because you never really know.
You never know.
Paying attention, yeah. Watching. Yeah. And some of this stuff, I ain't never even spoke to him about that. Yeah. But this goes to show you, just be mindful, do what you just not need to do, but making sure God shine a light on you, just like he was speaking about his wife and him playing. It's real important, man, because we all do that when we go to college, kind of get away from God. And I did it too, not going to church as much, not praying as much, trying to hit the party.
Yep.
But we all got to remember, you know, God, the reason for the season. And that's almost every day, man. Not just almost, that is every day. And I want to thank Mr. Vickers again for coming on. And y'all be looking out for his son over there at Oklahoma. Y'all know what number he going to wear yet?
No, we don't know. Okay. We're hoping 8.
Okay.
Because that's a number that has a lot of meaning for our family. You know, numbers, 8 is a number of new beginnings. He's had that number since he's a little boy. We do understand that there is a red shirt fresh senior over there that will be leaving. So we have put our name in the hat for that number because it's just so special to us, man. It's been our number since. That's just a number that God has placed on our heart. And we just believe that has so much more meaning to it than just a number. So it's not that we want the 8 because it's a number. It just has so much spiritual connotation for us, you know. And so thank y'all, man, for having me here. I appreciate it for letting me be able to tell just a little piece of my story. And it's been an honor, man. It really has. It really has.
No, man. Thank you. And I'm going to say it again, man. Thank you for coming on. And, fellas, y'all just make sure y'all doing what y'all supposed to do and do the right thing. And I'm going to leave y'all how I always leave y'all. Keep your head up and knocked down, or else you'll fall to the ground. This is the Life of Football Podcast. Catch you next time.